Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning to the Lord's house. We're so good to see you. Your cheerful faces and your cheerful smiles is just encouraging. Hope that you encouraged one another. Welcome to the good people who make up the Porter Christian Church here in Porter, Kentucky. Welcome to each and every one of you. May the Lord bless you in a great way while we worship together. I'm going to share with you one of my favorite psalms here. Psalms 121 reads, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, and even forevermore. Amen. What a God we have. Let's praise him for it.
For him of worship this morning, going to use 259, sing the first and fourth verse, and Benny will have a few. It's all stand.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart.
Folks, sing it like you believe it. Amen. Yeah. Let us pray. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful for the Porter Christian Church, people that make up this church. It's your church, O Lord, and we thank you for it. Thank you that we're a part of it, and we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless us this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, certainly upon this church family, that you'll bless us indeed, that your hand would be upon us, and we pray, Heavenly Father, against those evil things that Satan has that comes against us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they might not come near us, that they might not grieve us or pain us, that we would live a victorious life, Heavenly Father, in Christ Jesus. And so now, Heavenly Father, we come this morning. We're so grateful for the blessings we've received in the past week, the good things you've done for our people, Heavenly Father. We're so grateful. And we look to you, Heavenly Father, dear God, that you are the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And oh my, how you bestow them upon us. We thank you for that. We come in honor of you, we come to praise you, and we come to recognize Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Savior, your Son, the only begotten Son, that come into this world to save sinners from the lost sinners like us. So, Heavenly Father, we look forward to that time when we gather all together in thy heavenly home and just rejoice there forevermore. So we ask now that you would bless this congregation as we worship together. Help us and let the Holy Spirit dwell among us, encourage us, Heavenly Father, and direct us in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name with thanks. Amen.
For communion hymn, we're going to use 263, 1 and 4.
Living for Jesus, the life that is true, striving to serve him in all that. Allegiance, glad-hearted and free, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thy and thy atonement is give thyself for me. I owe no other master. My life shall be my own. Life I give is for to live. Oh, Christ, for thee alone.
Nothing much in the way of announcements this morning except the Bible study this evening and also there, and we look forward to that. As we then carry over to our prayer list, we still have a number of people on our prayer list, and yet we haven't got any reports this morning of much here, so we assume that everybody is doing about as well. We did hear that two or three that we asked, they were doing okay. So we continue to pray that they will mend and heal and may be well. We have a couple absent this morning. Peggy isn't here because I think she got allergies working up on her, or is that something of that nature? And you folks, some of you folks are bothered with them, especially our good elder back there in the back. He's bothered with them sometimes and so forth, and so you know how that is. So we pray that she'll be all right, which, you know, she'll get over that right away. And who is on this prayer list that we want to make more? We visited with my brother Grim this week, and he's doing right well. So thank you for your prayers. But he's still got a long way to go, but he's doing right well. And in fact, I can say amazingly well because of what he went through. He had a rougher time than I did. I didn't have a rough time. I'll praise the Lord for that. But he had the cancer operation, you know, and then the heart operation. But through it all, he's doing right well. So we contribute that to the good people's prayers. We thank you for that. So continue to pray for them. For each and every one on our prayer list this morning, continue to pray for them. And I didn't notice that somebody wasn't here this morning. Is she off vacation, you know, or is she sick?
No, she's late.
Okay. We miss each and every one, and sometimes we don't notice until after we don't get information. We just want to know that they're well, and if they're not, we want to pray for them and for their what's going on in their lives. Robert's on our prayer list, but he looks like he's doing okay. So he missed last week, and we missed him, and so he missed a complete Sunday last week. So he's back and going. And Ron back there, he looks like he's walking pretty good this morning. So he's a coming right along. We're so glad that you're here, you and Tina, and who else we see here. Well, we're just glad that everybody else is here this morning. Pauline. Okay. Richard that was here with our Bible study, and we mentioned last week about going for the heart operation. And so he was here. He evidently got a little upset there or something happened, and they went home. And does he have a schedule yet? No.
5 a.m.
Okay. All right. So we continue to pray for that. Doodle's going to the 30th to get his hip operation, and so we pray for that. And who else we got here? Well, I was going to ask you, the newlyweds are not here this morning. If somebody's sick, who's sick?
Daniel, his allergies and just everything. Yeah.
He had a bad spell with that here a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we hope it's just a minor thing. So it's still so good that you all are doing good and looking good and so forth. And so we'll just be mindful of those that are not here and those that have difficulties, those that are facing operations, those that are going for treatments and so forth. We'll be mindful of them and be in prayer for them. And the caregivers, those who care for those who can't care for themselves, continue to pray for them. I don't know. I hope that you have continued to pray against this, the drug and opium thing and so forth I mentioned here some time back. I ask you to pray every day for that. I don't know whether you noticed it or not in the news this week. It said that America has spent $3.5 million on overdosing and such of opium this year. Medical things and so forth, and the expense of people overdosing and such. What a terrible, terrible thing for that to happen to people. And certainly elderly people ought to know better, but young people are caught up into that, and it's just a shame. You could look at the news today, and I haven't and won't today, but you could probably look at the news today and see where some young people have overdosed last night. And I mentioned our grandson on MT or on Life Squad and so forth, and their runs, the majority of their runs are young people overdosing. They get a elder one once in a while, but most of their runs, the majority of their runs are overdose young people. And that's such a shame for a young person to be caught up in that. So they just pray that they can be able to get out of that and so forth. The Lord can help them, and pray that the Lord will. Those who care for those who can't care for themselves or service people, we mention them fairly regularly, and each other, this church family, we ought to pray first of all for each other, that we all be well. God desires us to be well, that we can be examples, we can be an influence, we can be help to others. And so try in your life to do those things which are right, that'll help you to stay healthy and strong. In your infirmities, pray to the Lord. He will certainly help you. I'm so thankful every day. I just pray and thank the Lord for his help in our health issues. And I think about all the things that our families went through and Maxine and I have went through. And I just can praise the Lord because he's helped us through all these things. And I look at you people and see where you've had operations and various medical needs, and that you've been helped. And you look to the Lord for that, and the Lord can help. Oh, yes, we pray for the doctors and the nurses and all those that care for the people. And they do a wonderful work, and we need to pray for them, for the work they do, and pray for them to be rewarded for the work to do. But when it comes all down to it, Father God in heaven, the great physician, that's got his hand on those things, and we want to praise him for that. We want to recognize him for that, all that he's good for that. I don't short the medical field at all, but I don't short God either, because he's over all that. He's got it in control, and he takes care of it. He blesses us through many people. He blesses each other with each other here. He blesses each other with each other here in this congregation. We know that. So much to be thankful for. Even though we live in a fallen world, and we're subject to sin. We're subject to illnesses. We have so many things that are happening to us. And yet God loves us, and he cares about us, and he's concerned. Let's go to him with thanksgiving and ask his help in our lives.
A poor prayer for him. We're going to use 426, saying the first fourth verse, and Jerry will have a prayer. It's awesome.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care. God will take care of you.
verse says, and when God will take care of you, if you just trust and obey and believe. Thankful, Father, for all the blessings of life you've given us. Prepare a blessing upon those that are not with us today for whatever reason. Lay a blessing upon Vi, she's having a problem, and Doodle and Richard and all them is getting ready to undergo surgery. Father, we pray that you'll lift them up in their time of need and give them strength to be with the doctors as they tend to them. Again, Father, thank you for all the blessings of life you give us, and thank you for your love and your watch care over us. Keep us safe on our journey home this evening, and thankful, Father, for the many blessings that you do give us each and every day of our lives. Forgive us where we do fail you, Father, for these things we do pray in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. The invitation hymn be number 299.
Did you hear what he said? Well, you can tell they have a good time. Well, I'm blessed. What can I say? I don't have to do anything up here. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, and I've got shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I've got you. And to me, that's all that matters, though this world cannot see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, and I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, and I've got shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Amen.
Have you ever just been so overwhelmed? Your cup's just overflowing and this is what comes out. Couple Sundays ago, we had homecoming at the church that I grew up in over at Stonewall. And I know some of you probably know them, several of them that used to go there. I know Pauline is familiar with my family. She knows my grandma and my grandpa. And my grandpa's passed already. He passed a couple years ago. And most of his brothers and sisters have passed. There's only one of them left now. But most of them went to that church, and a lot of them were elders in that church. And that homecoming Sunday, all of them are gone now. And I realized something. In my childhood, I can remember I would sit fairly close to them, and we'd sing, and right before the sermon, there would be somebody pop up. And they would start testifying about how much they love God and how blessed they were. And I remember being little and I would just giggle because I thought it was just so funny. Because one in particular, my Uncle James, he got to where he had to be pushed into a wheelchair in the church. He couldn't, at the end of his life, he couldn't walk for very long distances, and he would have to be pushed in the wheelchair. But he would be right up front. And he would transfer from the wheelchair into the pew. But buddy, when the Spirit got a hold of him and he jumped up to testify, nothing stopped him. He still stood up, and sometimes you couldn't understand what the world was coming out of his mouth, but you knew it was good. You knew that he loved God. And I miss that. And as a child, I laughed and I giggled because I thought it was so funny. But now I want that. I want to be the silly or the crazy lady that's standing up that says, I love God and I'm so blessed. No matter how little I've got, he's all that I need. And I want my children and any other children around to sit in the back, and I want them to giggle. I want them to think, there's that crazy lady, there she goes again. She's so silly. But you know what? When they grow up, I know they're going to remember that, because I do. I do. And I know that that's something that will stick with them. And I think that we should pray for each other. And I ask for your prayers, too, that I would continue to grow in my faith and not let fear be a factor and not be afraid to stand up and say that I love Jesus. And to say that he's blessed me with so much. You know, I do have a fine family. I grew up in church. And I was raised the right way, and I'm thankful for that, because so many people aren't. You know, I was lucky. Benny talks about the drug crisis. You know, I had good friends. I wasn't around that a whole lot. I didn't get sucked into it. Some of my family wasn't so lucky. I've had several that have fallen victim to that. One, actually, I'm proud to say she went into recovery, and she's now almost 3 months sober. But it took a lot to get her to that point. She lost both of her kids, but now she's getting to the point where she gets to see them again, and I pray that that keeps her on track. But you just never know. You just never know what's going to happen. So that being said, my cup's overflowing this morning. I love Jesus. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to see all of you guys. And just pray for one another. Pray for one another that we continue to grow and to lift up the name of Jesus and to be an example to everybody. Not just here, but outside of here. We need to be a beacon that people can look at and say, I want what they've got.
You know, Ada, I keep forgetting to ask you. Are you going to have an operation on your back or something? No? Okay. Okay, but you was having trouble with it and so forth there and trying to decide what to do with it, okay? I knew you was having trouble with it. Sorry I didn't ask about it sooner. But I thought about it. Thank you, very dear, for your special. Thank you so very much. Appreciate that every day. Thank you, Kathleen and the choir. And you know, Kathleen, I shouldn't... I don't want this to be a bad omen, but you know, I think about you in our prayer time and stuff and the daily prayers, and I've recognized that you haven't had a headache for a while. I hope you never have another one, but we're so thankful, and I've been thanking the Lord that you haven't had those things, and it's been quite a while, and I just hope it's long off, maybe never have another one. Isn't that great? I mean, see, we were so plagued there for so often with it, and we're so glad that you don't. Okay, want to thank you good people for helping me out and giving me all the ideas and what you thought would be the most important point of this little passage here. You're so helpful, and your ideas are so welcome, and so we're going to look at it this morning. Once again, bear with me as we read it. Chapter 9, the book of Matthew reads, "And he, being Jesus, entered into the ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes and said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether it's either easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then say he to the sick of palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he rose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given much power unto men. Amen. So the question was, you know, the whole Bible is important, and I'm not saying it isn't. There's things in there that is more important to others, maybe, that helps us a little more than others. But the whole Bible is important. But I thought it would be kind of neat if we would look at that short passage and share, and you all share your thoughts with me as what you thought was most important. There's a lot of things in that little passage and what you thought might be important. And would it be the paralytic man that was brought to Jesus? Would that be more important than anything else? Or would it be, you know, the four men that brought the sick man there? Or would it be Jesus rebuking the scribes? And because he surely did that at times, didn't he? And did it quite well. Would it be Jesus knowing their thoughts and hearts of these men? Would it be that Jesus being the Son of God, the most important thing, point that you would point out in that passage? Would it be that Jesus forgiving the paralytic sins? Or would it be that Jesus had the power to forgive sins on earth? So there's a number of things there that you could look at and chosen from, and good reason for all of them, I think, you know. Would it be the paralytic being brought to Jesus the most important? That ought to really be important in people's lives, I would think. I think it would be awful. I would think that it would be probably the most important part in his life, point in his life that he was brought. And I think that the utmost important is to bring one to Jesus. I've said something like that before. But I think it's the most important thing for us to do and for you and I to do is to bring people to Jesus. That's our goal. That's our mission. That's what the church's mission, and that's individually our mission, is to bring people. And so this man, him being brought here, you know, he's brought under the bondage of sin. We know that. And we discussed that. And let me say, too, because I was questioned about this, I did not say that everybody's sin is their own fault. Because you have an illness or an affliction or something, it's not always because of your sin. But we know that all sickness and afflictions come from sin and started from Adam and came down to us. Sin entered into the world. We live in a fallen world, and we're going to be affected by those things that are in the world. And so if one's sick, we can't say, well, she sinned or he sinned. We can't do that. That's wrong judgment. We don't know exactly what happened. You know, I said one time here that I felt real good, but I had to go to the doctor's office to get a checkup. And while I was in the doctor's office, everybody was coughing and hooping and cooping and so forth. And then the next week, I had a cold. And was my sin going to the doctor? I don't know. but you do those things, you know, that happens to us. But sin is there. So this man, and we concluded when we talked about it, it was very possible that he had sin and brought this affliction on him. We don't know. This palsy is crippled. He could have done something that crippled him. We don't know that. Maybe it wasn't, but whether it was, he's afflicted by it, and sin brought it into the world. He's afflicted by it. He's under the bondage of sin. Now, to bring him there and for that man himself to experience the wonderful peace and joy and the blessings of the loving Heavenly Father, wouldn't you want to think that your friend should be the most important to you to get him there? And secondly, though, maybe it's the most important part would be these four men here that brought this paralytic. I would think that for a friend to know that you had a need and that your only need could be met by Jesus, and he could deal with that if you got there and you're not able to go, not able to get there. I would think it would be most important to us as friends to get that person there. Some of you probably have at one time or another in your life, especially some of the elder, have not felt real well, and needed to go to the doctor, but they really weren't able to drive themselves to the doctor. They needed someone to come along to be alongside them and to help them and bring them to the remedy for them. And so we see that here. So yeah, I would say that it's really important to have friends that really care for you and concerned about you and certainly concerned about your well-being. And these four men were. And so I would think that we would be like these four men, that we also would look upon our friends and we would have a desire to those who are in need to get them, to bring them, or get them to the foot of the cross, get them to Jesus in some way, some another. You know, I can imagine this paralytic here hearing of Jesus and not able to get there. Wouldn't that be awful to be afflicted with something and knowing there's a healing somewhere that you could, that if you was there, you could get a healing. If you got to the doctor, he could help you. If you could get to the surgeon, he could help you, whoever, and you just can't get there. That'd be an awful feeling, wouldn't it? Nobody would help you. But how wonderful it is to have friends that is concerned and so forth and comes alongside of you and helps you. So the friends thought enough of their friendship. And I have to say again, you know, if you think enough of your friend and your friendship, you ought to think enough. If that person doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you ought to think enough of that person to get him or her there before anything else takes place there. And certainly that's important, I think, and very, very important to me. And would it be to know Jesus could read the hearts of men? You know, that's a little scary, isn't it? That's a little scary to think that Jesus knows me better than I know myself. But isn't it wonderful to know there's somebody that knows you better than you know yourself? Sometimes I just don't know what to do. You ever get there? But I know someone who knows what I ought to do. And I'm so glad that Jesus can read my heart and minister to me or speak to me in some way that will help me. So yeah, it's a little scary to think there's someone that knows more about me than I know about myself. But then I'm so thankful that I have that one who knows all about me and can do something more than I can do for myself. And that's Jesus. So I'm thankful that Jesus can read my heart and your heart and help us in that way. In Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I tell you, I don't know about you, but sometimes I question my heart as to whether that's the right thing to do or not, the best thing to do or not. And then I have to talk to Jesus about it because I know he knows. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh, thanks. We ought to just pray daily, you know, Lord God, draw us near. Holy Spirit, dwell within our being, within our hearts and so forth, that he will know and help me and guide me. Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, blessed is the pure in the heart, for they will see God. Isn't that great? He knows the heart and knows it. Well, would it be the most important thing that Jesus got the opportunity to kind of jab the scribes? Maybe. You know, Jesus taught that the people were to respect the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were the ones, you know, that knew the law and ought to be able to teach and help people with their lives. But Jesus had an awful problem with them. And they didn't go by the law. They put heavy loads upon them, Jesus told them. You load them down with traditions and such. And so Jesus took the opportunity, I think, to kind of jab the scribes there. We'll see that several times, you know. In fact, he calls them by some different things. He says, they didn't practice what they preached. They would tell them somebody to do something. They'd load them on with different things. You know, it's like the Jews always saying, oh, you got to be circumcised before you become a Christian and so forth and like that and such. And they would just put demands on them that they just was too heavy to bear. And so Jesus really had at odds with them. And so he jabbed those scribes and Pharisees. They gave Jesus trouble from the very beginning. All of his life they gave him trouble. And most everything they did to be seen by others. You know how Jesus said, you know how the Pharisees, they stand on the corners and give long prayers, you know, that people might see them and do. And, you know, they just wanted all the glory and such that could come. And instead of doing God's law says that they were to help, they were to teach, they were to help other people understand what God had in store for them, that God had had for them to do. And same way today, we have, you know, it's a shame that we have so much of this thing of prosperity preaching and so forth. And prosperity preaches really doesn't help people. It really doesn't help people when you come right down to it. The fact that you need to get right down to the nitty gritty, to the fact that, hey, Jesus, God loves you. Jesus is here. Jesus wants to help you. And he'll help you in your where you're at, what you're doing, in your needs, you know. He's not here to make you millionaires. He's not here to give you the best of health here. He's here to help you in and through those things. And so forth. We teach that. We teach that Jesus is near, and Jesus is here, and Jesus will help you. And that's the whole crux of the gospel here. The scribes and Pharisees, if you remember what they were, we talked about the superficial faith. That's where the scribes and the Pharisees were. They were superficial religious people. There are people who has religion, but it's just here. It's not here, as we talk about, in the heart. As Jesus knows that because he can look in the heart and knows what's in our heart and so forth. Instead, they added God's law to God's law and made it too heavy for people to do that. We have some religions right now that load people down with things that are just bonding them, bringing them into bondage instead of freeing them into the good things that God has for them. Jesus called the scribes and the Pharisees hypocrites, blind guides leading blind people blind, and they were going to suffer for that. Would it be, you know, that Jesus was known as the only Son of God, or the Son of Man, he speaks here, the Son of Man, that you might know the Son of Man has power to forgive sins here on earth. Would that be the most important part of that? The Bible's filled with references to whom Jesus is, you know. We can really, I think, easily find 50 things attributed to who Jesus is and to his life and to his lordship and what he came to do. The scriptures tell us that there are many thoughts of who Jesus was or is. I guess was or is. He's always is. He always has been, always is, always will be. And so on occasion, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say I am?" And you know, he says, John the Baptist, Elias, one of the prophets, a good teacher, a master teacher. That's what Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, told Jesus. You know, he come to him and he said, "Master, your master teacher." That's what he saw Jesus at. Many people saw Jesus at. Many people today just think Jesus is a master teacher. There are some religious groups today do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They just believe he's a good teacher. Some people that call him in our scripture that we can find, call him a healer. And so we see that very plainly, that people just sought Jesus for being healed. We saw that in a couple of our messages before, that they just sought him for that. So some of the scribes and Pharisees associated Jesus with Beelzebub, if you remember, said he speaks of the demon. Jesus really tore them up a little bit when he said, you know, if Satan, how would it be if Satan would cast out demons? That just doesn't make sense, he would say. How I guess I'll use that word, how stupid of you scribes and Pharisees to think that Satan would cast out demons, and you associate we with them. And so we see people had all kinds of opinions of these Jesus. Some people just classified Jesus as the son of Joseph and Mary. Oh, he's the carpenter's son. That's all they thought of him. That's all they looked at Jesus. That's all they emphasized. Yeah, that's Jesus. Well, he's just a carpenter's son. He's the son of Mary and Joseph and Mary. Could that be the most important part, that Jesus is the Son of Man? I don't know. Would it be to know that Jesus has the power to forgive sins? So we've talked about several different things already, and all those are important things and points on that place. But I really believe, to me, this is the most important point of this passage. You see, some take the forgiveness so lightly. I heard of this young man. Read a story just a while back, this young fellow. And he said, my mother really wanted me to stay abreast of our religion. And I say this kindly, I'm not putting down anybody. This is just, I just quote what this boy said. And he said, my mother wanted me to stay abreast of our religion. And she told me said, son, said, if you will go every Saturday and confess your sins, then I'll let you go and give you money to go to the show Saturday afternoon, every Saturday afternoon. And he said, boy, he said, every Saturday morning, he got on his bicycle and rode 2 miles. He said, boy, I just hustled to get there. And he said, I stood in line. And he said, I just couldn't wait to get up there and confess my sins and get back and go to the movie. So his thought was, you know, to go to the movie. He did that. So you would have to say, he took his forgiveness of his sins so lightly. So lightly. And so many people today take their sins so lightly that they don't contribute to it. Listen, sin is serious. Sin brings, Jesus said, the wages of sin is death. Death is eternal hell. So it's very serious. And we need to take our sins very seriously. And to know that there's one that can forgive our sins here on our earth. And we don't have to ride our bicycle two miles on Saturday morning to get that done. Jesus could have been the Son of God. And was the Son of God. But we'll say he could have been the Son of God. Could come. He brought and brought to us the Father. Did you know the Father before you knew Jesus? No. Philip said, you know Jesus if you show us his Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we do not know. So Jesus could have been the Son of God that came to just to tell us about God the Father, to show us the Father, to show us the love of the Father here. And so he could have been one just to come. He said, I've come to the Jews. And he told them to go tell John the Baptist when they asked about who they should look for. He said, tell them about the one that's there that's healing the sick and raising, you know, those crippled and so forth. He could have come just to be a good healer here, as some said. And some recognize him just to be a healer. And so he could have come and not had the power to forgive sins. That could have been possible. And Jesus could have refused that power. Jesus could have refused to do that. Jesus could have looked down upon us, on those who sinned, and said, to heck with you. You know, to think about Jesus being the Son of God, the righteous one, and to look down upon people like me who have sinned and rejected Jesus along in my life and so forth. And when I did come to Jesus, well, I could, you know, I could say I was worthy of what he said. And he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That'd be a terrible thing, terrible thing. Jesus could have done that, could have done that. Forgiveness is one of the most beautiful and powerful concepts and a central theme of Christianity. We can talk about a lot of things out of this Bible. We can talk about how God loved you. We can talk about how Jesus and how Jesus did it. But listen, folks, the whole crux thing is the forgiveness of sins. If you don't have your sins forgiven, you have no hope. We have no hope. And Jesus come to do that, to take away the sins and give us hope, and give us hope. All the wonderful gifts that we get from God. And you could sit there and you could take a notebook and you could write page after page of the wonderful gifts that God has bestowed upon you. But the most wonderful gift that you have ever received from God the Father is the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin. You could be the most crippled person. You could be the most unhealthy person. You could be the ugliest, the beautiful, whatever it can be. But if you don't get rid of your sins, you have no hope. And Jesus came to give us that hope, to take our sins away. And I'm so glad. And I think the most important thing of that passage is the fact that Jesus had the power. See, a lot of men are men, good positions somewhere, but they don't have the power to do this or that. See, the president has got people under him. And what the president can do, he has some people down there, but they don't have the power to do what the president does. We have that in all walks of life. And we could have seen that with Jesus. Jesus could have been everything. He could have been the wonderful Son of God. He could have come and told us about Jesus, told us the love of God. He could come and healed everybody that he come up to that was sick and needed healing and so forth. But if he didn't have the power to forgive sins, where would you and I be? So I count that as the most important point, even though I say all the others are important. Oh, it's so important to bring your friends to Jesus. It is so important to see that your friend comes to know Jesus. And it's important to know that Jesus had conflict and with the scribes and Pharisees. And there's people that right now that Jesus has conflict with. People that's in your life that is wanting to destroy your life, wanting to harm your life and detail your life. Jesus is working against them right now, as he did then in that day. The scribes and the Pharisees wanted to bring the people under bondage. Today, who is it wants to bring you under bondage? Who is it wants to bring the people under bondage of alcohol and drugs and all kinds of sort of things? Who wants you to bring you under bondage of jealousy and hatred? We've got that all around us. And he does. He's working at it. Jesus can take care of that for us. So I say this morning, isn't it wonderful that when we repent and receive Jesus as our Savior, baptized for, as he says, the remission of sin, that's buried with Jesus, buried, we've died with Christ, raised to walk up in that newness of life, and all the precious blessings that God has in store for you and for me. That's the greatest thing that I can think about. Whatever it is that you need, what did you want, whatever you need help with, God is there, all because of Jesus and his power to forgive sins. To me, the most distinctive message of Christianity is that every man, every woman, every boy of knowledge, every girl of knowledge can have their sins forgiven. There are people today, maybe some of your friends, are wallowing in sin. Don't know what to do about it or with it. And maybe they are in a place they want to get something done about it. They just don't know what to do about it. And maybe they've gone here and gone there, but they've never come to the foot of the cross. They've never come to Jesus, the one and only one that has power to forgive sins on this earth. Yes, the little boy rode his bicycle, and he left with the feeling and the thought that his sins were forgiven. But Jesus says there's no man on this earth can forgive sin. Even the Jews didn't believe that. Even the scribes believed that. They said, they blasphemy. We got it right here. They blasphemy. He's taken on something that contributed only to God. And they said, only God can forgive sins. Well, Jesus was God. He's the second person of the Godhead. And don't get me wrong. I don't want to confuse you here with that. To me, there's God, and there's Jesus, and there's the Holy Spirit. Somebody wants to put them all together, and they're one. They're one in the Holy Trinity, what do you call it, Trinity, only. If they had them all clamped together, when we get to heaven, then we would be discouraged because we could only see one. When I get to heaven, I believe that we will see Jesus. And he's going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit that's going to be ministering among the people. I believe that we'll see that. If I did not believe that there was God the Father and Jesus the Son, being two distinct personalities, people, I'd walk out of this pulpit and forget right today. But I'm so fully convinced from this scripture that there's Father, the Son, and one day we'll see him. And for right now, we can have our sins forgiven because of the Father's love and the Son's mission. And we can have eternal hope, you and I, this morning. The Christian faith has many truths and values, each of which has countless applications to the lives of believers. But the good news is that men can be fully cleansed. Fully cleansed, folks. I think that's the thing that we need to get. Sometimes we think, well, God forgave me of this, but will he forgive me of that? This is so bad, will he forgive me of that? When you come to Jesus, you bring your friends to Jesus, he and you can be fully cleansed, completely cleansed of your sin. That to me is really encouraging. That to me is strength of life. That helps me to realize that, you know, I don't have to be loaded down. I don't have to go to bed at night and lay there thinking about, is my sins forgiven? I know Jesus as my Savior, and I know that he has power on earth to forgive my sins and your sins. To anybody who you bring to him, their sins can be forgiven also. To be free from the guilt. And that's the thing I think about a lot of people. They are still They feel like they've come to Jesus. And I've had people to come to Jesus. I have baptized people. And still in later days, they say, I just feel so guilty. Listen, folks, that's Satan and his torment. The Son of God, who comes and cleanses you from all sin, there should be no guilt in your mind and your life. You should go forward for Jesus in a great and wonderful way. The joy of knowing that one day we'll stand before God, our sins forgiven, is one of the greatest things that I find out of this book here. If you haven't had your sins forgiven, I can't forgive them. There's not a person on this earth that can forgive them. But Jesus has the power, even today, to forgive men, women, boys, and girls with their sins. Right here on this earth. And if you haven't had your sins forgiven, just respond to him. Special word. The Holy Spirit will go with them and help them, guide them this week.